On the motion to lay over, postpone, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, move on to item G6, contract with Ellers Incorporated.
Question.
Of course, Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess I'm not supposed to ask any questions, but I just want to know if this is going to include the moving of the three businesses or not. The ones that are already there. Is that going to be part of the scenario or not?
There are seven businesses
there. Or, well, there's three I know of that are going to be tough to replace and put somewhere else in the city.
I don't have an answer to that question right now. Part of that depends on how the engineering lays out. And we're still waiting for additional engineering information to make a determination about how it would impact businesses along 27th Street related to the infrastructure. Or are you referring to businesses along Elm Road further into the park?
I'm referring to the businesses on 27th Street
yep.
that don't really fit in with a high-end business park. So without spending the money and thinking about moving them, we're going to have a warehouse park, not a business park. So I
disagree. I'll leave it at that.
I don't know. You know, high-end business are going to come in next to some of the, you know, I don't want to bash any businesses, but there are some that people might not see that it'd be the best place to be. So,
the action you're requesting here is to do the contract?
I guess based on the recommendation to postpone the prior item, I would suggest that this item also be postponed to go in unison with the other.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of the motion to postpone to the next meeting. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G7. Conditions and restrictions for an eating and drinking place on a property at 6807 South 27th Street. Alderman Wilhelm.
I have questions on 5 and 10 in the lighting. So 5 and 10 in the resolution are on page 66 and 67.
Mr. Deedle.
5 is the one with the easements. I don't think that's cleared up, and I wanted to have the city attorney's opinion on if we're going to cause Menards a problem with that, if the language should be maybe a little stronger than what the Plan Commission suggested.
Mr. City Attorney.
I had no issue with the language that existed in the draft that went to the Plan Commission, and I have no information as to why it was changed by the Plan Commission. And how I have an issue trying to understand why an acknowledgement, which there are different legal definitions of an acknowledgement from the adjoining property owner who's the easement holder, what does that do? What's an acknowledgement as opposed to or staff looking at the easements and knowing whether or not there's an issue?
Mr. Deedle.
So the original wording of the motion of that condition was from me. Without knowing what the terms of each of those easements were and thinking that it's possible that the terms of those existing easements have the authority to prevent these activities within the easements, tearing up the parking lot, building a building, putting in landscaping, moving the parking spaces, that kind of stuff. I did not have a copy of those easements. I couldn't get a copy of those easements, so I don't know what they say. So I just erred on the side of caution to say that we needed their approval in case there were such terms in those easements that they could deny the project or the part within their easement. The applicant has indicated that they did not agree with that condition, and the Plan Commission seemed to be on the same page with that it was unnecessary and going too far, so that the Plan Commission came up with the language that we see before us tonight is just to contact those easement holders and let staff know that they have been contacted and notified about this project, with the assumption on my part that if they have a problem they will immediately call me and then I would bring that up to the Common Council if it's significant.
Before?
waiting for the city attorney. I tend to agree with putting the language back the way the city attorney said he preferred it. I would prefer it that way. I was able to get a hold of the attorney for Menards, and I just made one phone call, and he answered the phone. And here it says they tried twice and couldn't get a hold of him. They have some concerns about this, and they would like it resolved. Now there's another parcel toward the back that I don't know how this easement plays into that or if it does at all, but I certainly think that we don't need to be causing an issue when it might be very simply resolved. And I want everyone to know that I've been championing this project and making use of this parking lot for quite some time. Every step along the way, I've sent out a newsletter rating this as one of the highest, my favorite projects that we were working on. So I fully support this, but I don't want to cause additional easement problems in the future. So maybe the city attorney could address how we might do that. And then the other one was number 10, and this was for city engineering, the grading, erosion control, and stormwater management plans. Will there be stormwater management plans since it's existing asphalt right now?
Mr. Moore.
Again, I put that in there just to be on the safe side, yes. I'm not anticipating any stormwater management plan, but I wouldn't be surprised that there's some requirement that calculations have to be done. Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one I had was on the lighting, and that is addressed on page 73. It says the lighting includes four new light poles, one existing light pole will remain, an 8-wall pack. Four new light poles will be 20 feet tall. And staff suggests the lighting levels adjacent to the proposed new poles on the north and west sides of the property be redesigned to reduce the lighting levels for the Department of City Development review and approval prior to issue of building permit. That's not italicized, which means that staff is not really recommending that get in there, and it did not get in the document. I'm just wondering why, and I think that I would like to include that, but I'd like to hear from staff on why that wasn't put in.
I believe the proposed new poles are only a couple of feet taller, like either 4 or 2 feet taller than the existing poles, and that the light levels are only a few tenths of a foot candle higher. So I didn't think it was significant enough of a difference to require it, just enough to suggest it.
I'd be just enough to kick it over the edge for a complaint, though. That's what happened with the U.S. Cellular lighting.
And it's always that history that we look at. You know, staff takes into account the extent of the changes in the existing condition. So, again, the existing conditions, the light levels are only slightly less than what it's proposed to be.
Okay. I don't know if anyone else had anything, but I'll wait for the city attorney's reply on item 5, and I'll give the floor.
Mr. City Attorney, if you're ready.
With regard to condition 5, I'll paraphrase what's there. The first three lines up to the comma and the third line will remain the same. Then add in shall provide copies of all recorded easements to the city. Then it'll continue to read for engineering department and department of city development. For there. And then it continues, review and approval prior to the issuance of a building permit. In other words, I don't know why in this already essentially developed area, engineering department wouldn't have copies of easements or that they wouldn't be available in the assessor's office, but staff should review the easements. And if the easement is 35 feet wide across what's currently an asphalted area, and there are no prohibited uses within this easement, it's a non-issue. If the easement says, this easement was granted by the city of Franklin to the current adjoining owner, and there shall be no future development on this easement, then it's not buildable. So engineering and Department of City Development can review it. And I think that condition will cover it.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandrea.
I was at the planning meeting, and several other people here were as well. The discussion with regards to the easement pertained to currently in existing striped parking positions that are already in this lot. And that's why they asked for the terminology to be changed. They already exist. And if the developer, if someone has a potential problem that it would create a problem in the future, they agreed that they would eliminate those striped spots and remove the stripes. That's what it came down to, ladies and gentlemen. That was it.
Alderman Wilhelm.
That was not the explanation from the Menards attorney when I talked.
Menards attorney wasn't here.
I know, but if you're not looking at the easements, you don't know which is correct. So just check out the easements and make sure we're not causing a non-buildable site. It's pretty simple. So I'm going to make the motion with the language suggested by the city attorney to adopt the resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of the special use to allow for the eating and drinking places upon use upon property located at 6807 South 27th Street, Stephen W. Doran, managing member of Daybreak Capital LLC applicant, with the changes suggested number 5 from the city attorney.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, for the record, Alderman Taylor was gone for about 32 seconds, about 40 minutes ago. Alderman Barber then left for about 42 seconds.
And Alderman Mayer is leaving now.
At 7:50. And he also left about 5 minutes ago for about 32 seconds. And now Alderman Mayer is leaving his seat.
She keeps
and
calling.
This adds $15 to the publication.
Did you? I never caught. Yeah.
And this adds $15 to the publication in the minutes. Okay, we move on to G8, which is presentation on the sewer pack study. Alderwoman, I'm going to do this so I can go get some.
How long are you
going to
be?
About 40 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I know.
For the record, the mayor has passed the gavel. He'll be back in a minute.
Well, you're missing the fun stuff here.
Oh, we got it. We're going to have a quorum here with everybody leaving? Okay, we're good.
Let's go.
Okay. You're on.
Thank you very much for inviting us to speak about the study the city asked us to do.
Please state your name and...
I'm sorry. I'm Christopher Hebert. I'm the Chief Transportation Engineer at the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. We were asked by the city to conduct this study of the intersection of 51st Street and Drexel Avenue because of a perceived problem related to delay.
Could we have a little quiet? Little competition there. Thank you.
It's okay.
Okay, and the mayor's return, so I'm going to pass the gavel back.
Just stayed out there for half an hour.
All right.
Thank you. I'm back in my seat.
Anyway, we were asked to study the intersection of 51st Street and Drexel Avenue because there was an observed problem related to delay and queuing in the intersection. So the commission went out based on the city's request and conducted this study. So we started the study area as shown on the graphic on the screen. This is the intersection. You can see the existing land uses around it. We have residential in the northwest, or in the northeast and the southwest quadrant. It's not readily apparent in the northwest quadrant, but there's a quarry there. And then the Franklin High School is in the southeast quadrant. And some of the perceived traffic problem that we actually observed out there related to the traffic coming to and from the school. So as part of our study, and this was a feasibility study, and this study was done at no additional cost to the city. It's part of our overall work program. We do a couple of these studies a year for various communities throughout the region at request. We went out and we collected inventory data. We identified some potential alternatives the city could consider to take into preliminary engineering, and then evaluated those alternatives as to how feasible they were and whether or not they would address the problems that are out there. So as part of the inventory, we looked at adjacent land uses. I already kind of identified some of the general land uses. We identified the existing characteristics of the intersection, its operation. We collected data related to traffic volumes. There weren't necessarily, there were some current counts out there, but we actually went out there and fielded video collection equipment that could get us all the turning movements, and we did this over a couple days. And then we actually fielded staff out there to observe and verify the data as well. We also did traffic forecasts in the area to determine and estimate what we thought the probable future conditions might look like, and we collected data related to vehicle crashes that are available from the Department of Transportation. As we look at the traffic volumes throughout the day, somebody earlier had noted that there seems to be a problem in the AM peak. Well, we identified three distinct peaks and throughout the day. Normally, you'd see generally two distinct peaks, an AM peak and a PM peak, but there's also a third one at this location that coincides with when the school's let out.
And Northwestern Mutual.
Okay, Northwestern Mutual as well. So we've got... But those two peaks in the afternoon are very similar. So what we did as part of this study is we analyzed all three of those peaks and how the operation of the intersection would look. When we look at the existing conditions of the intersection, the existing configuration, the fact that it's always stop control, two lanes coming in and out of the intersection, we can see that under current conditions in the morning peak, that intersection is operating at about a level of service F, which is about as bad as you can get, but the after school and evening peaks are at a level of service D, which is just on the other side of acceptable. By the year 2050, we would expect traffic volumes to increase to the point where the morning peak would still be at a level of service F, and the afternoon and evening peaks would go into F as well. Looking at the queuing that's occurring in the intersection, we observed, and while these are values coming out of the tool we used, we can see that there's significant queues in the AM, and this is the worst direction, so worst leg of the intersection. Other legs may have equal queue lengths; they may have shorter ones. But in the morning, the worst was about 19 vehicles. In the afternoon and evenings, you had 12 and 8. But by the year 2050, the morning peak would double, and the others would go up about 3 to 4 times.
How do you account for that? The doubling of, and in some cases more than that, of the traffic with the, as I perceive it, there is very little opportunity for additional development in that area.
Well, we used the data coming out of the Vision 2050 plan, where the city had identified areas of growth, regional growth, and then estimated traffic flows through the area. So it's not just what's going on right adjacent to that development, but it's actually regional development as well and other development within the city. So that's how we accounted for that. Yes?
Alderman Mayor.
Just for the record, I was back at 8:15. Your rating there for F and D, mm-hmm. That's strictly for efficiency, correct? It's not for safety. So in other words, it could be very inefficient but very safe. It could be very efficient, unsafe, potentially.
Right, correct. Those values don't quantify accidents at all.
By the way, excuse me one second. I'm going to introduce an ordinance next week that we in 2 weeks that we define what the official clock is for comings and goings of the council member.
Oh.
I'll look for volunteers to introduce that.
My cell phone was perfect.
Sorry. Go ahead, please.
It's fine. So what did we do? We identified several different alternatives to consider. What it looks like up there is three is actually four alternatives. The first one is continued operation of a four-way stop with additional lanes. We have two traffic signal control alternatives, and we also considered a roundabout. Now, as I said, this is a feasibility study. At this point, we don't make any recommendations as to which alternative is better than another. We just simply report the results, and the city can decide how they want to proceed from there. So we did some basic designs. These aren't intended to be used to do anything other than to quantify preliminary results. This is what the four-lane intersection would look like, all-way stop control. We bring it in with two lanes inbound, two lanes outbound, and all legs. The first traffic signal alternative that we'd be considering would provide a dedicated lane for all the movements, so there would be a distinct right turn through and left turn lane coming into the intersection and one outbound lane and all the legs. We also did some median dividers adjacent to an entrance, and all these things can be, as you move through preliminary engineering, can be manipulated and different decisions can be made. But for the purposes of this analysis, this is what we used. The lighter blue areas, if you can see them, the shading and the on the north leg to the west, that those are areas where we think you may need to purchase additional right-of-way for this particular alternative. But again, as you move through the design process, there are compromises that are made through that design process, and some of that could be mitigated.
In this alternative two example, the two driveways that are right off of Drexel on the corner,
mm-hmm.
How would you see having them back into the turn lane be much different than what is there now?
It probably wouldn't be very significantly different than what they would be currently doing now. At this point, we didn't get into relocating driveway access or anything like that, just merely identifying and recognizing those as potential impacts and how people may access their property. But again, as you get into final design and you work with adjacent landowners, work through some of those issues and potentially take it, but it wasn't accounted for in this analysis. The second traffic signal alternative reduces one of the turning movement lanes. We combine the through and the right turns into a single lane, but still provide a dedicated left turn lane. That one can be done largely within the existing right-of-way. And then we looked at a roundabout. We designed one. Again, these are conceptual. We shifted this particular design off center of the current intersection about 126 feet to try to keep it from impacting residential properties. At this point, looks like it would barely impact the southeast quadrant. There's a little bit of blue. The southwest quadrant and a much larger section of blue in the northwest. But again, these are all things that can be moved around if a different direction was, you wanted to mitigate the impacts or change them a little bit. This can be rotated. So when we evaluated the
Can you go back to that?
Sure.
That's a single lane roundabout, correct?
Correct.
And the center radius is standard?
I'm trying to remember. We designed it, I think, for probably a 25-mile-an-hour design speed.
Larger than the one at Drexel. My concern is if a roundabout is selected, I would think we'd want a larger circle, mm-hmm. not more lanes, but a larger circle to allow more cars to enter.
And those are things that you would consider in more detail. So that would change the picture of, estimated costs. It could change the picture of what the right-of-way impacts would be, but for our purposes, we picked a standard design speed of about 25 miles an hour and the appropriate radius according to that. But again, those are all things that you can change. The problem with picking higher design speeds is that the velocity of impact when you do have an accident would be higher, and so the impacts can be more severe.
Well, there's a reason engineers designed this. In my head, I wanted more space between the cars to allow people more opportunity to get in the circle without conflict,
sure.
as opposed to a narrower circle, which has fewer cars in it and less opportunity to enter it.
Right, I can see that.
As opposed to going through it faster.
Mm-hmm. So when we evaluated the alternatives, we looked at whether or not the alternatives could reduce the delay or queuing within the intersection, what the potential impacts on adjacent land are. I've already kind of identified those areas where we thought there could be some potential impacts with regard to right-of-way. The effect on residences we've already touched on a little bit. You know, some of the adjacent properties can be impacted in their ability to access the road. And what utilities relocations you may have. The other is we estimated some initial construction costs to just give you a sense of kind of the scale of what each of these items could potentially cost. Again, final costs come out of, or tighter cost estimates come out of preliminary engineering. So when we look at existing conditions for these, if we apply these existing conditions to all four alternatives, I also have the current configuration of the intersection at the top, we can see that every single one of these alternatives, even the always stop control, if you provided additional lanes in that, will improve operation of that roadway. The alternative two, which had, you know, the left and the through and the right turn movements in every single lane and a traffic signal, performs the best at a level of service A across all the periods, but still a level of service C is an acceptable level of service. So you can, there's a trade-off. If we look at the future year traffic volumes, we now see that the first alternative, the four-way stop control, would go down to a level of service E with the anticipated volumes, while alternative two would still be expected to operate at a level of service A across all four periods as far as delay is concerned. And the other two, alternative three and the roundabout alternative four, would be a level of service C or better in all periods of the day. Looking at the length of queues under existing conditions and future conditions, we can see that alternative two clearly performs the best as far as the length of queue. The roundabout does have a significant queue length relative, as well as the other traffic signal, because there's fewer lanes for people to travel through the intersection. Some of that queue length could be mitigated by providing a free right turn, so you would allow the right turns to have their own dedicated lane. That could reduce the length in the roundabout as well. We didn't design the roundabout with a free right turn, but some of those are the some other things that can be done. Looking at the right-of-way acquisition, again, these are preliminary numbers or very basic numbers, but they're all fairly minimal. We're talking about a tenth of an acre or less of additional right-of-way that we would expect you'd need to acquire for any of these alternatives. The effect on residences, I think alternatives 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's a lot of talking points on this particular slide, but the basic gist of those points is that I think a lot of the existing conditions would still apply in the future. I mean, those individuals that have a problem getting onto the roadway because of queuing, don't expect it to completely alleviate that problem because they're in very close proximity to the intersection. In fact, some of them could exacerbate the problem a little bit. In the case of a roundabout, you could have, because there's a divider that's provided ahead of the intersection, those properties adjacent to it might be able to make a right turn out, have to travel through and do a U-ey in the roundabout to get out, And if they were able to make a left turn into their property, them waiting for a gap to get a left turn into their property could cause a queue through the roundabout. So there are some drawbacks to those things. But again, those are some of the issues. As far as utilities are concerned, only alternative two, we identified impacts where you would have to potentially relocate a couple of the power poles in the area. With regard to cost, the roundabout was clearly the cheapest alternative out of the three, or out of the four alternatives. Alternative two, which performed the best overall in level of service and delay and queuing, that alternative was the most expensive. But with the alternative one, two, and three, there's potential to reduce those costs. We assumed that within the intersection or within those figures that we showed on the map, that it would be a complete reconstruction of the roadway to identify the cost. Because with regard to the roundabout, you would have to reconstruct the roadway to provide the alignment that you need. Depending on the life left in the pavement, the quality of the pavement condition, you may be able to offset some of those costs by utilizing some of the existing pavement or resurfacing rather than a full reconstruct. But again, some of that stuff goes into engineering design and identifying whether or not those pavements could be reused. So we opted to make all things equal otherwise. The next steps for this study we're just basically waiting at this point for the city's direction as to whether you want us to hold a public meeting. It's certainly part of what we would do is the normal course of these kinds of studies is hold public meetings. It would be done at no additional cost to the city. What we proposed in the report that we could potentially do would be to have an open house style format where we'd present boards, maybe a little more detail than what I have here on this PowerPoint slide, and we'd have staff available to answer questions that the residents had. We'd also provide them an opportunity to write written comment. We'd summarize that comment and provide it to the Common Council so that could be used as part of the informed decision-making process you use.
So I think we all agree that we need some public input.
How would the notification
The notification of the meeting?
Yes, how would we...
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I asked my question already.
I know you did. Glenn, you have any comments on the presentation?
No, we worked with Sewer Pack, and I think appreciate the efforts that they did, looked at it, and it's obvious that what's out there now is not going to continue to work well. I don't think that was a surprise to anybody. Obviously, the roundabout's somewhat appealing with a price tag there at the end. I do think the high school would be an appropriate place for a public input session. It's their local for the residents. Haven't talked to the school, but I would imagine they could find room for it one evening. So.
Mr. Rotzenberg, capital budget anticipates this when?
The 2017 mayor's recommended budget included a provision for this project in 2018.
At what level, do you remember?
I didn't remember.
I'm going to hold you to it. Okay, so... Essentially, the next thing is some public information, and Alderman Willem.
Well, I think the public information now, while it's all fresh in your mind, and get that done up front and get those comments to us will be helpful. And then we have some financing, obviously, to consider on this, because without the money, we can have all the studies and meetings, but can't do anything without that.
Can we do a TIF?
Where's the increment? Alderman Mayor?
Just want to point out, roundabouts in today's society don't always work well, and we have adults that can't quite grasp the fluidity of how to really maneuver through a roundabout. Now picture the two peak periods of the day with this roundabout being 16- and 17-year-old kids on their way to or from school. It could get a little crazy there, and if adults aren't real good at roundabouts, I think there could be potentially a lot of problems there.
Kids are better.
And school buses, good point.
I do like the idea if we have to put a roundabout in,
by the high school is a wonderful place for kids to learn how to actually drive.
Trial and error?
Alderman Taylor.
And I've driven with Casper, and he just goes right through the roundabout, just drives right over. I've been in the car, just right over. So, you know, let's
All right, is there Alderman Barber?
I'd just like to know when we could schedule the public hearing.
All right, is there a motion to direct staff and sewer PAC to work with the two aldermen of the district and arrange a public information meeting and return the results of that meeting to the council at the earliest opportunity?
One question is, how soon will the council have to act to get it into the budget for next year?
September.
September.
Is there a second to the motion?
That kind of sets up a timeline. Second.
Discussion of the motion, which is, in essence, do a public meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G9 is an ordinance to amend the municipal code to establish a farmer's market. Alderman Mayer.
I would get to that page, and then I'll make the motion.
It's 163.
Motion to adopt an ordinance to amend the municipal code to establish the St. Martin's Fair every summer Monday. Market fair, I thought it was on a different page. Could I add to that, though, that we notify the neighbors in the vicinity of the fair that this change is going to occur?
Well, who is we?
City.
Who is the city?
Clerk's office.
We are the city.
Sign on a post.
Madam Clerk.
The engineering department was going to be taking over the fair.
A letter to the persons around the Market Square area and 500 feet from the Market Square, maybe? Something
okay.
Like that.
What I was going to do, but that's good. You put it in the motion.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item H1, miscellaneous licenses, Alderman Taylor.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor. Basically, we have the first six items, Jones through Seymour, approved. Then the next two, Sawinski and St. Louis, or St. Louis, I don't know which one it is, hold for appearance. And the temporary Class B for the Franklin Public Library, approved.
For a second?
Second.
Discussion of motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
We're on the same page this time. A month ago, we were all over the place. I don't know how you guys corrected that while I was gone, but you must have.
Okay. It doesn't have to be repeated.
I yelled at somebody.
We have
Item I-1, is there a motion?
Here.
I can't even get through licenses.
Maybe
Alderman
not.
Wilhelm.
No, it's the clerk. She's letting you.
Alderwoman Wesolowski.
Just to clarify, the fourth operator down should be Harry instead of Kelly.
Correct.
Which was found by the license committee. So
correct.
Thank
that's
you.
That's right. You asked her.
With yes. That correction, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item I-1, motion approving the following. City vouchers with an ending date of March 16, 2017, the amount of $1,209,388.16, and payroll dated March 17, 2017, the amount of $376,061.07, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $230,826.25, plus city matching payments, and estimated payroll dated March 17, 2017, in the amount estimated at $392,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount estimated at $401,000, plus city matching payments. Property tax payments and refunds with an ending date of March 16, 2017, in the amount of $1,601,460.77.
So approved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Motion carries. Five ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstentions. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
There is no discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.